This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast for this Monday, February 5 of 2007. I'm your host, Amanda, and with me, as always, is John. And this, welcome to the show, John.
Thank you.
And this week on the Red Hot Broadcast, we've got a very special guest. We've got Joe Aiello from the Big League Baseball Report, who's joining us to give us a preview of the Cubs season. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. We've had Cubs fans on the show to talk before, but this is the first to have you here, and we're glad that you're here. So,
glad to be here.
What do you think is the deal with the Cubs this season?
You know, I think that this is the year, but then again, I think every year is the year. But I really do. I was telling my wife today that I think it's going to go Bears, and then Bulls, and then Cubs. I think this is the year at Chicago.
Well, you know, by the time that this airs, the Bears will have already lost.
That's true. That's true.
So,
or have won.
No. So, how about, can you tell us a little bit about the, keep in mind, that most of the people who listen to the Red Hot Broadcast are Reds fans, so we pay a little bit of attention to the Cubs' moves, but we don't give them the close scrutiny that you would. So can you sum up for us some of the off-season transactions that have been made that you think are going to improve the team or maybe even hurt the team this season?
Okay. Well, this has been a big year for off-season transactions for the Cubs. You know, last year they didn't really do much. They brought in a couple of relievers. And that was essentially the big moves, aside from Juan Pierre. This year was a little bit different. They set out to improve the pitching staff and as well as boost the offense. And Jim Hendry really went out and basically bought everything. At one point, he was the only guy making moves, and we really thought that maybe he would buy every single free agent on the market, because that's what it seemed like. And, you know, they've made some big moves. Alfonso Soriano being probably the biggest one of them.
Sure.
But they've also done some lesser moves too. A move that I think is really going to help the strength of the team, especially in the bullpen, is Neil Kott. If he can get back to form that he was in 2005, then, you know, we could be really getting a good deal out of that one. You know, he's a good left-handed arm out of the bullpen. You know, if we can get something out of Jason Marquis, he's another one that we kind of brought in to kind of help out the rotation.
Oh, he was to help the rotation? I thought for sure he was to help the offense.
No, I don't think so. I mean, maybe your offense. But
well, certainly that as well.
You know, he's made some big moves there. Letting Juan Pierre go, you know, really, I think it was the right thing to do. And now we'll plug in Alfonso Soriano in that spot. So I think, you know, he's definitely gone out and gotten the job done in terms of improving the ball club, and now it's really just a matter of, you know, what the team can do for Lou Piniella. I think that Lou will get the team fired up, and I think the team will play with a lot of passion and heart that it maybe missed over these last couple of years, and I think now it's just a matter of going out on the field and executing, because I feel like we're the best team in the NL Central.
So is Soriano going, what position is he going to be playing?
Everything I read is that he's going to be in center field. There
were some
questions about whether or not he would be willing to play center field, but it seems like he will be the opening day center fielder, which should clear out some room there for Matt Merton in left. And as far as I know right now, as it stands right at this second, Jock Jones in right field.
So what is this fascination with trying to squeeze Soriano into positions he hasn't played before?
I think really when you look at the team, they knew they were going to play in the outfield. You know, when they went out and got Mark DeRosa to play second base, and if they hadn't got him, they had Ryan Perio to play second base. So they knew that they didn't have a need for him to play second base. And really, when he played second base for the Yankees, his defense was terrible. And so I think that was one of the main reasons that the Nationals wanted him to move out to the outfield. And, you know, last year he was a little reluctant to do that, but he played a really decent left field. And obviously coming over here, the corner outfield spots were kind of set in stone, essentially. And so really it was just a matter of, well, where can we play him? Let's try center field. And, you know, he definitely is athletic enough.
Sure.
He should have the range to be able to play center field. with his speed and things like that. So, you know, I think it'll be a little bit of an adjustment in the beginning, and hopefully he can get that taken care of in spring training. But, you know, he can't be any worse than he was playing second base.
So then do you think that he was a superior left fielder to Adam Dunn?
Oh, God, yeah. We talked a little bit about that on the Big League Baseball report. I think anybody is a superior left fielder in terms of fielding skills to Adam Dunn. Adam Dunn has DH written all over him.
How much money is Soriano going to be making this season?
Soriano is going to be making an awful lot. He signed an 8-year deal, and it was going to pay him a total of $136 million over the course of that deal.
I assume that's got to be backloaded, though, right? He's not going to be making...
You know, part of it is backloaded, and part of it is there's also some incentives in there. So it's not just, you know, a straight, you know, even amount every year. So it's a little bit different than that. But, yeah, no matter what, he's going to be making big money. He's not going to be making A-Rod money, but he's going to be making big money. And I know he's got some incentives in there, too. He's got a little bit of... you know, he gets a suite in certain times. So there were some things going on. In 2007, I'm pretty sure he's only going to be making like $9 million. And then it starts to get backloaded after that. And he does have a full no trade clause as well.
Wow. So that could be hurting them, come the end of that contract.
It could be, you know, around the end of that contract, he'll be pushing 38, 39 years old. So, you know, but I think it's a move where the Cubs just said, you know what, we've got to win one. We're creeping up on 100 now, and we've got to win one here. So I think that they're kind of sacrificing the future to try to squeeze it in under that 100-year barrier there.
Well, but it seems to me like it's just a proud tradition by now.
Not so much.
Not so much. Not so proud.
Not so much. It's a tradition. I wouldn't say it's a proud tradition.
There you go.
Now, I know that the crack technical staff has thought there's been one improvement to the offense that's even more substantial than the Soriano signing.
Yes. The biggest offensive acquisition of the Cubs is Lupinella.
Yeah, I think that Lupinella is going to bring a lot of fire to this team, a lot of flair to the team that I think, you know, the Cubs sorely lacked when they had Dusty Baker. Dusty had his moments where he would go insane and fire the team up, but for the most part, you know, he was low key, and he was he was the guy that just kind of catered to what the players wanted. And you know, with the team that we've had the past 2 years, that kind of manager is not going to get it done. So I think that, you know, Lupinel is going to come under here, you know, probably under scrutiny a lot of times for the way he handles things, but I think he's going to light a fire under there. Under their team, and know that, you know, you hustle, you do these things, or you're not going to play. And I think that's something that Dusty Baker wasn't willing to do. And so I think that's going to really be a huge change this year in terms of just fundamentals. This year should be much improved.
Well, great. You'd like to see the fundamentals improved. At least that's the sort of thing that that we're always looking for in Redsland, it seems like.
Yeah, usually you would think that when you get to the major leagues, you shouldn't really have to talk about fundamentals anymore.
Oh, but you so do.
Unfortunately, you do.
Yeah, it's such a big deal. What about what about your starting rotation? I'm not even up to speed on what your starting rotation is going to be looking like going into 2007.
There's Zambrano, and then who?
The starting rotation actually is looking a lot better than I thought it would. Going into the offseason, you know, we really needed to make a splash. There was talk that we were going to go after Jason Schmidt because Barry Zito was probably going to be priced out of our range. We did make an offer on Daisuke Matsuzaka. Didn't come anywhere close to Boston's posting price, so didn't win that one. There was rumors that we were going to go after Kei Egawa that signed from the by the Yankees. Didn't go end up going after him. So really, Jim Henry just kind of went out and signed a couple of guys that I think are really going to fit in nicely. And really, I think his plan was to basically add depth. You know, in the past couple years, we've really been counting on Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood and then have gotten burned because of it. This year, I think that we are completely not counting on those guys.
That's
and
good.
Basically filled around them. So the rotation as it shapes up right now should be Carlos Zambrano starting on opening day. Ted Lilly should probably fit in there right there as the number two spot in the rotation. My guess is that Rich Hill will probably take the third spot in the rotation, followed by probably Jason Marquis in the fourth spot, and then it's going to probably be a battle between that fifth spot. You know, you got Wade Miller in the mix, who pitched fairly decent down the stretch. Sean Marshall, who started out the year really well, kind of faded down the stretch. You got Mark Pryor, who all indications are that he's ready for spring training. So obviously, if he's healthy, he would definitely get the nod. So you're going to have a few guys kind of battling for that four and five spot, because I don't think Jason Marquis is set in stone yet. So I think you've got about four or five guys battling for about two spots. I think right now, Carlos Zambrano, Ted Lilly, and Rich Hill are penciled in as the 1-2-3.
What's your bullpen situation looking like?
Now, the bullpen looks really strong. It's actually probably the strength of our pitching staff. Ryan Dempster, who caught a lot of flack last year for, you know, sometimes not pitching all that well, what people need to remember is that he pitched really well in the beginning of the year. He, at one point, had an incredible save streak going, over 20 games in a row. So he should start the year at the closer spot. Bobby Howry and Scott Ayer should fit in real nicely as our setup guys out of the pen, and both of those guys pitched really, really well. Big signings last year by Jim Hendry. Neil Cox should fit in there real nice, and we hope to get the, like I said, the stats from 2005 from Neil Cox. Last year he had somewhat of a breakdown with the White Sox, finished the year with an ERA over 5. But really, when you look at the stats from Neil Cox over his career, 2005, I mean, I keep referring to it, but 2005, he was just absolutely money. And, you know, he had an ERA under 3 and just was just a tremendous asset to the White Sox. And I think that if we can get that back, he'll fit in there really nice. Kerry Wood appears to be ready for spring training. He'll pitch out of the bullpen as well. And then you've got a couple of guys like Roberto Novoa, who pitched pretty well last year, Michael Wirtz, who pitched exceptional last year, and then guys like Will Ullman and possibly Juan Mateo or Carlos Marmol fitting in there as well. So the bullpen should be a strength and should be able to help us to kind of make the game a 6-inning or 7-inning game instead of a 9-inning game.
So the Cubs have definitely been the most active team in the NL Central.
Yeah, I would actually go on record to say that the Cubs have probably been the most active team in the major leagues this offseason.
Yeah.
And I think that they really had to.
They did. They've done a lot of stuff that improves the team, but they only won 66 games last year. How many wins do you think they've added?
It's a tough road ahead. You mentioned 66 wins. The problem, though, is I think that they were a better than 66-win team. So I look at it, yeah, we lost 60, or we won 66 games last year, but really when you take into account the fact that, you know, we lost Derek Lee for a good portion of that time.
Yeah, that hurt big time, man.
That really hurt. And at the time when we lost Derek Lee, we were playing some really good baseball in the NL Central. It looked like we were the team to beat in the NL Central. Then Derek Lee goes down, and really the team spirals from there on out. I really do think that the Cubs are good for 95 wins this year. So I'm looking at virtually a 30-game increase. I think it's going to be one of those worst-to-first type situations. And, you know, I think we've got the team on the field to do it. I don't see another team in the NL Central that looks as strong as we do. Everyone's got holes. And right now I look at the Cubs and I say, you know, do we really have a hole? We've got a weak-hitting shortstop, but he makes up for it with the glove. And, you know, as far as the other positions, I really don't see a lot of holes. And so, you know, I feel like we can really do the worst the first thing this year.
Well, you heard it here first, everyone. 95 wins for the Cubs in 2007. That's going to be really something.
95.
Well, you mentioned looking around the division at the other people that are the other teams and how they're doing. What have you been your impressions on what's notable about what's gone on in the offseason and the other teams in the NLC?
Well, you know, it's been a weird offseason. People have been spending way too much money on really average players.
Like Jason Marquis.
There's guys like that. But, I mean, you've got a lot of guys that really have just been collecting big paydays.
Yeah.
And don't really appear to to be deserving of, because they haven't ever proven anything. And so I think when you look at the teams that really have been the winners of the offseason, I think one team that comes to mind in my mind is probably the Yankees. The Yankees have really, I think, quietly improved. I don't think they've really made a lot of noise this year, which is kind of non-Yankee-esque, but when you look at what they've added, they went out and they got Teiji Igawa, who I think is going to be the better of the two Japanese pitchers, primarily because he's not going to come in here with the hype that Matsuzaka is going to come in. You know, they went out and got that. They ended up dealing Gary Sheffield, who was aging, and picked up some nice players in that deal. They're quietly restocking the farm in every sense I'm hearing to make a strong push for Dontrell Willis. So I think the Yankees have really made a good effort this offseason to really make some noise. The Phillies are always a strong team, and you know, with locking up Chase Utley this year, I think that they're making a statement to their fans that, hey, we're gonna have guys like Ryan Howard and Chase Utley here for the long run. I was gonna say that there's really no NL Central team that's really made any noise other than the Cubs. You know, I know we talked about the Reds not really making any noise, a lot of smoke, no fire. So I think that if I had to go on the record really as I think another team that has really done a lot of work, and I think it's got to be the Yankees. The Yankees have really, in my mind, had a pretty good offseason, but a quiet offseason.
And we'll see how that works out for them. So is there anything else on the baseball front that you'd like to cover?
You know, a lot of the talk now is over this DirecTV package.
That's
deal,
true.
And the anger that's infusing in some of the fans. And really, my thought on it is, you know, to me, baseball has a product. DirecTV just seems to be the one that wants to buy the product for the most money. And so I think that MLB should have the right to sell their product for that long. Do I think that because probably I have DirecTV? Probably that has something to factor into it. But I mean, in my sense, you know, if I have my product that I own, I should have the right to sell it to whoever I want. And, you know, it's a luxury. It's not a utility, so I don't think it really falls into the monopoly aspect. But, you know, so I think it's a luxury, and we got to remember that it's a luxury. And if Major League Baseball chooses to sell it to this one person, then, you know, we got to deal with it, or maybe it's just not as important as we want it to be.
Well, that's it definitely is their right, and certainly they have exercised that right. I wonder, though, what kind of impact it will have. I mean, how do you draw new fans? How do people just, you know, end up sort of watching the game on TV when it's only available on DirecTV?
I think Major League Baseball's plan is, by doing this, it should increase their MLB.TV revenue, because you got a lot of angry fans now that won't be able to get DirecTV, or maybe don't want to pay for extra innings package, and so now will, as a result, settle for the MLB.TV package deal instead.
I don't know how many casual fans or people were going to be brought in by extra innings anyway, though.
I don't think so.
Because
it's
that's
definitely not like the...
It's not taking away like the games on ESPN or Fox.
The number I saw on it was that they had sold 750,000 subscriptions last year. So when you compare that to what they sell for the football package, you know, for Sunday Ticket, it pales in comparison. I think it's something like a fourth of what they sell for the football package. So it's definitely not a huge package. And then I think football is the money sport in this country right now. And so I think baseball, in my mind, is just trying to make as much money as they possibly can.
And good luck to them on that. So before we get out of here, you want to pimp your side a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I'll pimp a little bit. We've got the Big League Baseball Report, and that's bigleaguebaseballreport.com. We've been covering all the teams, little team previews with various bloggers and news writers.
Johnny, can you hold your phone still, please?
Inland Casper, who is one of the best in the business. You know, we've had a good time so far. We're about a third of the way through about eight or nine teams. Now I lost count.
So do you only do podcasts there, or is that also a blog?
It is pretty much just the podcast. We don't ever have the time to write, but we have our blog, viewfromthebleachers.com, and then also Phil's blog, which is CubsObsession.com as well. So we do some writing as well, but for the most part, big league baseball reporters, just our voices on the podcast. And
the big league baseball report is on twice a week, right?
Yep, it is. We podcast on Mondays and Thursdays, and we're going to be finishing up our team previews this off season as we head into spring training, and then basically just some madness and our musings all year as we hopefully ride the season all the way through the World Series for the Cubs.
Well, that's wonderful.
It's good to be optimistic.
Good luck to you.
And everybody, hope springs eternal at the beginning of the year.
Ain't that the truth? Everyone's in first.
Yeah.
So that's the Big League Baseball Report. We thank you very much for being on the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here, Joe.
No problem.
All right, everyone. Have a great week and enjoy the game. And go Reds.
Go Bears.
The Red Hot Broadcast is recorded weekly in a land where the impossible can happen, like the Cubs winning 95 games. To send your comments to the show, email us at rhm@red-hot-mama.com and visit the website at red-hot-mama.com.